Seventh Canto, Chapter 14, Text 35. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, purport. Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj about Grihastha Dharma, the ideal family life based on Krishna. Narada Muni said, O King Yudhisthira, the demigods, great sages and saints like the four Kumaras and Narada Muni, myself, were present at your Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. But when there was a question of who should be the first person worshipped, everyone decided upon Lord Krishna, Supreme Person. Report. This is a reference by Narada Muni to the Rajasuya Jagya performed previously by Maharaj Yudhisthira. In that Rajasuya Jagya, there was a great turmoil over selecting the best person to be worshipped first. Everyone decided to worship Krishna. Only protest came from Shishupal, and because of his vehement opposition, he was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Anjana Timarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Narada Muni presented a point of philosophy that Krishna is the best person, Hari, who is the cause of all moving and non-moving things, source of everything. He's within everything and everything is within Him. He indeed alone is the proper person to be worshipped by everyone, because Hari or Krishna is in fact the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paratattva, Swayam Bhagavan. As is the standard in Pravachan by the Acharyas, oftentimes they will cite a philosophical point, or as Dinabandhu Prabhu mentioned yesterday, they will state a point. Krishna is God. Hari should be worshipped. And then to support that point, the next point they might state, they might tell a pastime. A lila. Krishna lila. Gaur lila. Now they illustrate from the pastimes, or the lila of the Lord, or the Lord's devotees, they will graphically illustrate and often dramatically illustrate the point of philosophy which they first establish. So yesterday the point of philosophy was made, and today, which is simply the second verse in the dialogue, Narada Muni is stating the example. First he said, Hari is God, he should be worshipped. Just like long ago there was this one pastime where Hari was worshipped. So that's what he mentions here. This is the praman, this is the strength of evidence, is the words of Krishna and the words of the Acharya. So he's quoting Puranas. He's quoting the Bhagavad Purana, 10th canto, Krishna vanquishing Shishupal, which is also mentioned in 3rd canto, which has already been discussed about Shishupal. So of course, we're reminded of the story of Rajasuya Jagya. And here it explains that Jagya, all the rishis were there. And we see very nicely in Krishna book how Prabhupada enumerates and lists who were all the personalities there in that Jagya in Hastinapur. It was performed in the spring season, and Krishna had come from Dwarka on invitation of Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he was staying in Delhi for 3 months. And he was touring all over Delhi in his chariot, as someone may drive in their Mercedes or Maruti. Krishna and Arjuna were touring all over Delhi in their chariot. There was no ring road, and there was no national highway, but they were going on their own roads. Possibly they went to Sant Nagar, maybe they went to Lajpat Nagar, or to M Block Market, or these places where now Krishna is residing or has resided in previous ISKCON temples and other temples in Delhi. So Krishna was moving there in his Naralila. And his yagya was held in the springtime, Rajasuya. It's practically one of the first times such a huge yajna was performed on this planet by people of this earthly plane. Because Rajasuya yajnas are done by Varunadev, by Soma, by demigods, by very powerful personalities. So it's a very big affair. It costs millions and millions of dollars. And hundreds of priests are required. So when Prabhupada lists, he mentions the guest list. Sometimes you have a function. Oh, the Janmasthami celebration of ISKCON. The guest speaker is so-and-so. And then this star is coming, and this politician or this acharya. There are all these big luminaries are coming from the spiritual circle, from the political circle. We do the same thing in ISKCON around the world. We invite a representative of the Kshatriyas, supposed Kshatriyas, the ruling class. And then we invite a representative of the Brahminical class. So here at the Rajasuya Yajna, all the topmost personalities among Kshatriyas and Brahmanas throughout the whole universe were in attendance. All the greatest rishis and sages, Vishwamitra Muni, Vashishtha Muni, Atri Rishi, Chavana Rishi, Kanva Rishi, Bharadwaj, Vyasa Muni, Vyasadev, all the greatest rishis of the universe from every planetary system, including Narada Muni, they were all there in Delhi, in Hastinapur. From Tapaloka, Janaloka, we hear the four Kumaras were there, Brahma was there, Shiva was there. They were all there. Krishna was there. Tapaloka, Janaloka, all the different planets, all the great sages and rishis, and all the kings were there. All the kings of this world were there. They're all defeated, except one. Jarasandha. He wasn't there in the beginning. So before they could hold the yajna, he had to receive his number. So then Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna went in a special party and gave a special invitation to Jarasandha. But he came in two halves to the party because he was vanquished. Anyway, he didn't attend. But aside from Jarasandha, everyone was there. So it's a very, very big yajna. So everyone was in agreement. All the kings were in agreement. They were all conquered. The challenge horse was sent out. And they fought with the Pandavas. They were defeated. So everyone gathered. And the kings, all the Kshatriyas and kings, and Brahmins were discussing among themselves, who should receive the Agra Puja? Who should be the first person to be worshipped here? There's Vashishtha Muni, and Vishwamitra Muni, and Atri Rishi. There's Narada Muni. All the great kings, Yudhisthira, who should be the first amongst us to receive the honorary worship? They couldn't decide, nor did they consult. So then, the Pandavas, the little Pandava, we have Bhima, Arjuna, big Pandavas, Yudhisthira, then there's two little Pandavas, Sahadev and Nakul. So Sahadev, he stood up, three. Boldly, youngest, one of the youngest ones in the assembly, Kshatriya, no doubt, Pandava, he stood up and said, I say that Krishna should be worshipped. Everyone's attention went to him. Oh, really? Young hero, young Kshatriya, O Sahadev, what are you saying? He said, I say Krishna should be worshipped. Because he is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He is a super soul. And he spoke so much philosophy to explain why Krishna should be worshipped as the greatest of all the kings. And of course he's speaking from this Lokiki view, from this view that he's Nara, that he's like us, but he's the greatest amongst us. And moreover, he's also a super soul. He certainly is the Supreme Lord. Best amongst us, and moreover, he's the Lord. Because he understood. So then everyone said, yes, actually you're right. We agree. Everyone agreed. Now, Vishwanath Chakravartipad, he says, how come Sahadev spoke? Because generally, when there's an assembly of Vaishnavas, or Kshatriyas, or sages, the speaking is done by the Acharya, by the senior-most person. So, Sahadev was one of the juniors, one of the junior kings, at least by age, and by prominence. So he shouldn't have spoke. So they're saying, why didn't Vyasadeva speak to pronounce that Krishna should be worshipped? Or why didn't some of the Munis speak, the great Rishis? Why this young lad spoke, this young king? So then
Vishnath explains, the big rishis, as Dina was saying yesterday, the big guns of the rishis, the big sages, the big preceptors, they were quiet because they were thinking, oh, no one has asked us. They didn't speak out of turn without being called. They sat very regally and nobly. They didn't demand respect. They simply commanded respect by their awesome spiritual power and purity and realization. So everyone, of course, respected them, but no one asked them to speak. So they kept mum, silent. And then Vishnu says, why didn't they speak? But they were thinking like this. Vyasadeva was speaking, and these big rishis were, like Narada himself, wasn't asked. They were thinking, all right, no one is asking us. No one is asking us our opinion, although we're the most learned and realized persons here. No one's asking our opinion. Anyway, Sahadeva is speaking correctly. We can't disagree. And so they kept quiet. But they were thinking that if someone doesn't speak, if someone doesn't ask us to speak and glorify or choose Krishna amongst us, then we'll step forward. But Sahadeva spoke. So everyone was in agreement, and then the jagya began. But there was one person who was not in agreement. The Shishupal. He was not in agreement. But he kept it to himself. All the planetary rulers of the universe agreed. All the kings of every empire, of every planet agreed. All the rishis, sages, yogis, adepts, perfected beings, Gandharvas, and everyone in the universe agreed unanimously and harmoniously. Yes, Krishna should receive the Agra Puja, the first worship. He is the most worshipable person to be honored at this auspicious Rajasuya Jagya. But one person disagreed. So this is, we can draw some parallel. This is Krishna Leela, and there's his own teachings, which are there. But we want to draw something in our own life from this, because Bhagavatam is meant to be drawn into the heart. It's meant to be pulled into the heart through the ears. You pull the Bhagavatam through the ears, into the heart, through the string of your surrendered hearing. Then when you pull the Bhagavatam teachings into your heart, then they can dance there, they can speak there, they can reside there and guide you and reveal life to you, reveal Krishna to you. So this story of Rajasuya Jagya, it shows that the whole universe, all the most intelligent, powerful, richest, wealthy, influential people in the world and universe, whole universe, upper planetary system, lower planetary system, can unanimously agree and be in harmony on a point of the absolute truth. When we come to the absolute platform, there can be harmony. Everyone's searching for harmony. We saw one magazine, everyone, the inner hankering of everyone is for beauty and for love and for affection and for harmony. Peace and harmony. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he entitled his spiritual journal, as we have the Krishna Surya Samamaya Haya Andhakara, we have the Back to Godhead. Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. That is the motto of Prabhupada's magazine. But his Guru Maharaj, our Param Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he also had a journal, spiritual journal. It was called Harmonist. Because he saw that's the great need of Kali Yuga. Because this is the age of disharmony, disunity, fighting, quarreling. No one can agree on anything, especially if you remain on the relative platform. He's good, he's bad. On the platform of relativity, there is no harmony. Impossible. Especially in Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, in the platform of relativity, in the material world, there can be some harmony because people are approaching transcendence because of the prevalence of Sattva Gun. But in Kali Yuga, everything is covered and buried in ignorance and tamagun, which means disintegration, disunity, dissolution, revolution, breaking, darkness, ignorance. This is the effect of Kali, of ignorance. So, this is the problem of Kali Yuga, to find harmony. So we come to Krishna consciousness and we can understand intellectually and philosophically that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But the whole universe that we live in may go against us. the whole world that we live in, because every man and woman lives in their own world, bordered by the 10 directions. This body is also a world and has 10 directions, 9 gates, and so many, it's like a city of 9 gates, isn't it? So it's its own empire. So just like Dhananjaya Arjuna, he went out, and the Pandavas went out and conquered all the Digvijay. They were Digvijay, Kshatriyas. They conquered every direction for the emperor Yudhisthira. He became the emperor of the earth. So everyone agreed, yes, everyone in that earth planet agreed that Krishna should be worshipped. So within your city, within your mind, the city of your mind and heart and intelligence, you agree unanimously, yes, my life is for Krishna. I am meant to worship Krishna. I am meant to love Krishna. But then in your expanded world, beyond your body and mind, which includes your relatives and your circle of friends and relatives and associates and comrades and companions, you might find so much opposition. So many obstacles to your harmony, inner harmony with God, to your inner desire to serve Krishna and to go to Krishna. Even though everything is unanimously in favor of that, and that absolute truth of Krishna, this is the real point of harmony and the real point of agreement. But people may disagree. Your own father, your mother, your brother, sister. No, this Krishna is not God. What is this? Just like this one little guy, Shishupal, little king in Hastinapur, he's thinking, everyone says Krishna's God, all the greatest rishis, all the greatest politicians. Well, I beg to differ. I disagree. I don't believe it. Who the hell is this? Who invited this guy? Who is he? Who is this guy? Not that everyone... Oh, this is Shishupal. He's a little puggled. He's puggled. He's a little crazy. Sometimes he comes in here, I don't know who sent him invitation. Anyway, he's here spoiling the party. So, of course, this is Leela. Shishupal, as you know, he was finishing his business. Hey, Jaya Bijay, last birth. At least, sometimes they say Jagai Madhai. But anyway, Shishupal, Dantavakra, they're finishing their Leela. So there are other points, but we can see this point here. Here it is. It's anyone that has any brains, any power, any influence, any intelligence, they accept Krishna as God. The absolute reality, the furthest development of spiritual realization is the Swayam Bhagavan. The Bhagavan with Swayam, with personal swa, with personal qualities, a personal God, with transcendental senses and features and associates. But you might see this opposition from different sides. The Shishupals, the Shishupal of your mother and father and relatives, or the Shishupal of your own lurking doubts due to remnants of ignorance stored within the recesses of your mind or intelligence. They create these, 10 years I believed that Krishna was God, but now I'm not so sure. I mean, maybe not, maybe this, maybe that. Due to insufficient knowledge. So then, of course, Shishupala goes on to display a very wonderful aspect of this pastime. He starts to blaspheme Krishna. But how is it possible to speak? It is not possible for anyone to speak unless they are favored by one person or another person. If they're speaking materially, they are favored by the expansion of the goddess of learning, Brahma's wife, Saraswati. She gives the ability to say something about music, about philosophy, mundane philosophy, math, science. Vag Isha. The controller of Vag, Vacha, speech, Saraswati. But then her prototype, her actual original form, is Dibya Saraswati, who is the goddess of spiritual knowledge. So for those persons who are in the family of Achyuta, mentioned here, Achyuta, they are serving the Saraswati Pati, the husband of Saraswati. So they can speak Krishna Shakti Vinindahi Tara Pravartana. If they have Krishna Shakti Nahi Tara Pravartana. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. The Dharma for Kali Yuga is Prem Nam Sankirtan. But who can teach this? Who can show this? Who can spread this? Unless they're favored by Krishna Shakti. Who is Krishna Shakti? Krishna Shakti means Krishna's consorts. Narayan's consorts. Shakti is feminine, female. So the Shakti means Ananda Shakti, Radharani, Ladini, bliss, happiness, joy, satisfaction, fulfillment. And Shakti means Vidya, knowledge, awareness, perception, understanding. So this Shakti is Saraswati. So if someone is spreading Krishna consciousness by their uvacha, Sri Guru uvacha, Sri Guru Acharya, Sri Acharya Pad uvacha, by their speaking, it is because they are empowered by the Krishna Shakti. That means Divya Saraswati is sitting on their tongue and enabling them to speak Krishna Katha, Leela Katha, Hari Katha. This is how Krishna consciousness is spread, by the mercy of Krishna's energies. Prasya Shaktir Vavadaya Shuyate. So, in this assembly, we have a very interesting interplay of, in the Rajasuya assembly, not this assembly, but in the Rajasuya assembly, we have an interesting interplay of Vidya Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and Paravidya Saraswati. Paravidya, the goddess of transcendental wisdom. Divya Saraswati and Vidya. Divya and Vidya. Divya means transcendental knowledge. Narayan's consort. Who initiated Brahma and Brahma Samhita? She, at least as emissary, on behalf of Narayan, she gave the Gopal mantra to Brahma, as explained in Brahma Samhita. So now Shishupal stands up. Hey, wait! Don't worship Krishna! Who is this person? He's some... We don't even know what his caste is. Is he a Vaishya? When he's young, he was somebody, a Vaishya named Gopal? Just a cowherder? And now we don't... Now he's coming on a chariot with gold and all these things. Now he's a Kshatriya? What is it? What is his caste? What is his Varna? Varna Kotai. Where is his Varna? What is he? Kshatriya, Vaishya? What is this? He's just a cowherder and we don't even... That he doesn't even... So this is Vidya Saraswati. Speaking. Blaspheming. So when the devotees heard that blaspheming, they responded, right according to Shastra. Here's an example, Leela. We have Leela to support the Shastra. The Shastra Praman says, by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if you hear blasphemy, what should you do? You should get involved. Contribute your own. Increase it. No, if you hear blasphemy, you should cut the person's tongue out if you're a Kshatriya. But if you're a sensible man, and more timid type, not a Kshatriya, then you should cover your ears and run from that place. Or, if you're really in Gaur Bhav, you'll run all the way to the Jamuna and jump in the Jamuna. Or to the Ganges. Mahaprabhu, if he saw an offensive person, he would jump in the Ganges. We're told like that. This is Praman. But then there's Leela in the Rajasuya Jagya. We see, oh look, when Shishupal is blaspheming Krishna, they cover their ears. Hey, Hari, Vishnu, Vishnu. Oh, Bhagavan, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They cover their ears and they ran out of that assembly. They ran out of the Rajasuya assembly hall. And then the Kshatriyas, Bhima, Arjuna, oh, with that tongue, you want to offend my lord. Okay, well, get ready, because you're going to lose your tongue and everything that goes with it. Because it's all tied together with your head. I want to sever your head from your ugly limbs. So they were all drawing their swords, about to do their Shastrik Praman. If you're a Kshatriya, you cut his tongue off, and it's a lot easier just to cut the whole head off. Instead of fooling around trying to grab someone's tongue, it's slippery. You know, guy, he's hard to catch his tongue, you just cut the head and you've got the whole program. No more business finished. Shop closed. One blasphemy outlet finished. So the heads will be rolling nowadays. In Kali Yuga, heads will be rolling like in the Middle Ages, in France, when the guillotine, they said the heads were rolling in the street. So in our sanctified precincts of our holy institution, if heads were cut off every time there was blasphemy of Vaishnavas, then heads would be rolling all down the aisles. It'd be a ghastly, ghostly, and gory scene. But Krishna is very kind, and he's merciful. His Karuna, this is quality, which his pastime also brings out, his pastime of Karuna, Krishna's mercy. Although Shishupal, of course, deserved to get killed, but then there's this other half of the interplay. Vidya Saraswati was giving this speech, but then Vishnu Chakravarti and Sridhar Swami, they explained that actually, how can someone stand before her Lord and blaspheme her Lord? Will Saraswati tolerate it, either directly as Divya Saraswati, as the beloved consort of Krishna, or even as her expansion? As her expansion, the Vidya Saraswati, the goddess of normal, mundane learning? Do you think Saraswati will tolerate in such a public assembly that her worshipful Lord Krishna will be blasphemed and torn apart? So then Divya Saraswati entered into the speech of Shishupal and spoke very nicely. So then when Shishupal said, this Krishna has no caste. He has no caste. He doesn't follow any rules. So Vishnu says, yes, actually, in the name of blasphemy, the actual inner meaning of this statement that Shishupal gave was that Krishna, he's completely transcendental. He's beyond all varnas and all ashramas. He can be a Vaishya or a Shudra or a Kshatriya. He can be anything he wants. He's totally transcendental. And he's beyond rules and regulations. He establishes the rules and regulations. He's completely... Then he said, he's just Gopal. You know. He's just Gopal. He's just a cowherder. So then Vishnu says, yes, what Saraswati is saying here, yes, look, he is Gopal. Gopal means he's the Lord. He's the Lord of the Go. Go means he's the Lord and controller of the senses. Rishikesh, Go means senses. Indriya, he's Indriya Raj. Control of all the senses. And he's the master and controller of all the land. All the Sarvalokeshvara. Bhaktaram Yagasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's the Maheshwaram. He's the controller, the Pala, protector of all the lands, of every land, every universe, every continent, every planet. So in this way, Shishupala was offering wonderful glorification, and the sages were relishing. There were sages who were saying, oh Saraswati, how sweetly Shishupala is speaking, how nicely he's glorifying our Lord. Sahadev did a very nice job, but Shishupala is doing an even nicer job. By the divine arrangement of his consort, Divya Saraswati. So this is one aspect. But nevertheless, on the outside, on the external, it looked like he was offending Krishna 99 times, which was some story behind that. And then everyone's about to kill him, and then Krishna killed him with his chakra. But of course, not only is Krishna compassionate for his devotees, but he's also compassionate for the non-devotees. And he's also always thinking of the welfare of his devotees. He's thinking, my devotee, Yudhisthira, at great trouble, great expenditure of energy and money, he has conquered the whole world to establish his emperorship. And he's invited me here to honor me with the first puja in this august assembly. But if one of the Kshatriyas, if the Bandavas, if they cut off the head of Shishupal, there'll be blood. Blood will fall on the sacrificial arena and contaminate. The whole affair will be ruined. It took weeks and weeks to set this arena up. So many weeks of preparation and pre-preparation and so many pujas. And we're plowing, they have to plow the earth with a golden plow, and so many preparations before they can even build the Jagyashalas. Takes weeks and weeks and weeks, millions of dollars. So this will spoil everything. Now the auspicious moment will be gone. the auspicious Mangala Tithi and the timing, everything we heard yesterday, Kala, Deshan, Patra, how important it is, the time, place, and circumstance. So now is the perfect time, perfect place, and ideal circumstance for this Rajasuya Jagya. And if they wait another, if they spoil the arena, they have to wait 3 more weeks. 3 more weeks to fix up another arena. And the Kala, Deshan, Patra will be shot, finished. It'll be a different season, a different everything. So how important it was to contain this whole situation in such a perfect way to protect the honor of Yudhisthira and protect the reciprocate with the affection and arrangement of Yudhisthira. So then Krishna took his chakra out for so many reasons. This was one of them. And then he nonchalantly, it's described very nonchalantly, not with any great intensity or concentration. Nonchalantly means he went, oh, you know, just like you just have some piece of a crumb on your finger and you just flick it off. Flick. He just took his chakra and zip. And then off with the head of Shishupal. But such a surgical operation no one has ever seen in the history of modern medicine. Clean cut. Such a clean cut. Automatic, even laser surgery doesn't do this. Doesn't do the same job. A clean cut, completely cleanly cut his head off, and at the same time, completely tied up all his arteries, carotid artery, all the main arteries and veins. Everything was tied up perfectly, totally sealed, and not one drop of blood spilled on the arena. Chakradhari Sri Krishna Bhagavana Ki. So this is something special. Chakradhari, he who holds the chakra. So who could do surgery like that? I mean, Arjuna, he's a good surgeon. And Bhima's a good surgeon with his sword. But not one drop of blood. So this is the full concern of Krishna. He takes everything into consideration, every minute detail. Because everything to do with Krishna is based on love and affection. Because Krishna loves all of his parts and parcels. And because he loves all of his devotees, he's very careful in every move that he makes that will reciprocate in a very sweet and perfect and loving way with all of his devotees. So he adjusts, he gives a nice adjustment to Shishupal, as we will hear, and he adjusts the whole situation perfectly. Harmony. He's the ideal harmonist, Krishna. What is the definition? Harmony means the sweet and satisfying synthesis of all the aspiring qualities we're hankering for. The sweet and satisfying synthesis of beauty and love and affection and peace. This is harmony. So Krishna is a perfect harmonist in the Rajasuya sacrifice because he kept the peace there and he kept the beauty there. The beauty of the Jagya, the beauty of the sages. You imagine what the rishis would look like if blood was spurted all over their beards and dhotis. When his head is, because when someone's head is cut off, it spurts blood quite a few, you know, feet into the air. It shoots out from the neck like a fountain. So it would be a messy scene. So Krishna did a very good job. But then, of course, the point of the story is that Krishna's fair. He's equal. Samaham dvesha, samaham sarvabhuteshu, namai dvesha stiyapriya. Krishna's not envious. There's no envy in Krishna. But it was envy. Shishupal was the embodiment of envy. He was always thinking of Krishna out of envy, which is unfavorable. But still, he got a favorable result because Krishna is favorable to everyone. Even though he's an envious demon, he was promoted to Sayuja Mukti. Everyone in the assembly, when Shishupal was killed, they saw this bright light come out of his body and enter the body of Krishna. And those who had the inner vision, who had the proper vision, Vishnu says that they saw most of the rishis, the lower class, lesser rishis, they saw, oh, this is Sayuja Mukti. This demon was killed by Krishna's chakra and he received Sayuja Mukti, which means merging into the body of the Lord, fulgence of the Lord, Sayuja. But the advanced sages, the elevated sages, saw that this Shishupal, he didn't get Sayuja, Brahma Sayuja Mukti, but rather he actually, he entered the body of the Lord, then he took his place in his spiritual form as Jayam Vijay. He took his place in his personal form doing personal service to the Lord in Vaikuntha. They saw that. that when he was liberated by the Lord, he attained his personal service and his swarup, his vastu siddhi in the spiritual world, spiritual form, jaya and vijaya. So that's what they saw. So this shows that Krishna, even if one approaches out of envy, he got such a good fortune. And in the purport to this story, Madhvacharya quotes the Skanda Purana. And he explains that this story shows that even a devotee, he says even a bhakta, the word in the Skanda Purana is bhakta, it's in the purport of the big Sanskrit edition, 10th canto. He said, even a devotee who has an envious nature, even a devotee who is possessed of an envious nature, if he worships Krishna, he'll still be benefited and attain perfection and salvation. This is how kind Krishna is. Because we know that envy is a great debilitating anartha within the consciousness of a devotee. Envy is very pervasive in the consciousness of a Kali Yugite within us. But Krishna is so compassionate and so merciful as he was to Shishupal, who embodied this quality. So we have a little bit of Shishupal in us. Or maybe a whole lot of Shishupal. Or maybe we're his cousins. Or maybe his twin brothers. Or sisters. Maybe we're also little, you know, little Shishu. As far as I know, the word Shishu means little boy. Is that right, Shishu? Like Shishu Kumar? I don't know if it's the same word, but it's, Shishu means like little boy. So Shishupal, we may be a little boy full of envy. We may be protecting our envy. Pal, Matsarya Pal. But we must become Nirmatsaraya, Nirmatsarya Satam, Satam Prasangam, Mamavirya Samvito. The Bhagavatam is meant for Satam. It's meant for truthful devotees that are free from envy. But how do you get free from envy? Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, abhadreshu. Envy is an abhadreshu. It's an inauspicious quality. But by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, we get free from envy. Demons representing anarthas, and by praying to Krishna, we get diminished. We can draw from the same conclusion that Shikshamrita gives us by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Shishupal, he obviously represents a quality, an anartha, an obstacle to bhakti, an impediment to prema. And that is the primary obstacle, that is the dark side of love. The dark side of love is hate. And that hate means envy. Accelerated envy is hate. So you can see that envy for Krishna, when it's purified, it becomes the bright side. It loses its dark qualities and becomes prema. Because envy of Krishna means there's an intensity in envy. But it's opposed. It's unfavorable. It's antagonistic. And you take that same intensity, but you purify it, you keep the intensity, and you get rid of the envy and opposition, and you become surrendered to Krishna with intensity. And you become favorable to Krishna with intensity. And you love Krishna with intensity. That's prema. So this Shishupal represents this anartha of envy. So we read the story of Shishupal, or we hear the Rajasuya Jagya, and we pray, oh Krishna, I'm in his gan. I'm in the Shishu gan. We have Sakhi gan, Gopa gan, the group of gopis, or I'm Guru gan, group of gurus, Bhakta gan, Bhakta Vrinda, the group of devotees, Bhakta gan. So we're Shishu gan. We're in the family, or Shishu Gotra, the envious family. So we can pray, Krishna, you cut the head off this guy, Shishupal, envy personified. And so, such a clean way, a wonderful way. Will you please cut the head off my envious heart? My heart is a head of is envy is ruling there. Envy is ruling there like the presiding king of my heart. Please cut his head off. Enter the assembly of my heart. Enter into the assembly of my heart and cut the head off that Shishupal's descendant who is ruling there as the presiding king of my heart, dominating my ideas, dominating my vision, dominating my judgment, and dominating my speech. A king dominates. You become subjugated. The pure soul becomes subjugated by the king of envy residing in the core of the heart. So this Rajasuya Jagya is very apropos and appropriate as an instruction for ideal family life, an instruction for ideal spiritual life for all of us. So we have a very nice reminder here by Narada Muni about this Rajasuya Jagya establishing many points about the supremacy of Krishna and some of the unlimited qualities of Krishna, his compassion, his equanimity, his fairness, to liberate even the envious demons, and some of these other points that the Acharyas have given us, such as Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. The question is, how come Jaya and Vijay again appeared in Gaur Lila, since they were liberated and had finished their three births of punishment as demons? That chapter was over. Now that the Kumara's curse has ran its course and they're restored to their original position of service to the Lord. Of course, they're also doing service to the Lord in this fighting capacity, as we know. Then why again do they come in Kali Yuga in Mayapur Dham? So they came again for Leela. Because, oh my Lord, you're going? This is some special... this is something hidden. You're Chana Avatar. You're coming as Gauranga. Well, we're not supposed to go again. But can we come again? Because everyone else is going for your Leela. They're all going. We want to come. Can't we come and do some kind of thing down or get involved, take part? So on their own volition, having tasted the joy, because it's not that you forget. When you return, you don't forget what happened here. So Jaya and Vijaya, they remembered what a nice taste it was to serve the Lord like that, and they wanted to take part. So they came down. And of course, not every Acharya says that they came down again. This is particular realizations of our Gaudiya Acharyas that present this. That's another point. It's not a universally accepted point among all Vaishnavas and sages that, yes, they came down again in Kali Yuga. This is some our own Bhav Siddhanta and given from our own Gaudiya Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others. So we have to... It's Praman. There are Acharyas and we accept. But so these are some of the explanations. But it wasn't they were again cursed. They had a few debts to pay. They didn't quite clear up. They needed 3.5 births. It was a new feature, an additional feature of pastime with a very sweet flavor. Rather than losing their heads this time, they lost their demoniac, their envious mentality. And they became, instead of just non-contributors, simply salvationists that were saved by the Lord, they were saved by the Lord and became great contributors to spread Krishna consciousness, because they became preachers, serving the Vaishnavas, built a bathing ghat, serving all the Vaishnavas, living on to show the exemplary transformation of their consciousness by the touch of Mahaprabhu and by His mercy, and being ideal Vaishnavas and preaching by their sadhachara.